This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let the speculation begin on who the Jets are going to go after to be the quarterback of this team. Behind Zach Wilson, ahead of Zach Wilson, whatever it may be. We got a buy or sell coming up in a half an hour. We're going to go over the overreactions to week number one, whether we should buy the overreaction or sell the overreaction. But again, the league is still buzzing and the news still buzzing about what happened to the Jets Monday night, losing Aaron Rodgers on the fourth play of the game. Do they go out and say to the Rams, you really don't want Matt Stafford anymore? Do you really want him? Come on. Or do they go tell Matt Ryan, hey, broadcast booth is tough, man. Especially when your partner is making 28-3 jokes. You want to come back and play for a team well-built to win a Super Bowl? Do they call Tom Brady's agent? Would that be weird if Tom Brady announced he was playing for the Jets? What would you think of Tom Brady if he said, I'm coming out of retirement to play for the Jets?
Stupid.
Would you go, stop?
Stupid.
Would you go, cut it out?
But I guess he's already came out and said, no interest.
Yeah, no interest. None.
None.
He should have.
So stop asking.
Yeah, stop getting on TV talking heads and talking about what a perfect fit it would be for Tom Brady to play for the Jets. He's not playing for the Jets. He's retired. He's not coming back. That's it. I'm not going there. And, what about Matt Ryan? Do you think Matt Ryan would come out of the broadcast booth to become go back
to
football?
See, I don't think so.
I don't either.
I mean, from everything I hear, yeah. I mean, did he have a shaky performance? Sure, he's brand spanking new to it. Did he miss a obvious joke and not say anything about it? Of course, we made fun of it. But I think that job keeps you around the game, keeps you talking about the game, and is really a cushy job.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's a very cushy job, and I think once you get into it, it's very hard to get out of it. Listen, remember John Gruden? Remember John Gruden was on Monday Night Football for years, and I know it ended badly with the release of the emails, but it took a long time before Gruden got the itch again to go back to coaching.
Oh man,
remember that?
I thought for sure. I kept advocating for Chucky to come to San Diego.
Absolutely. How many jobs was he attached to?
Every single
one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And every single time he remained on the Monday Night Football broadcast.
Yeah, because you looked at him, it's like, hey, here's a young coach. He's still a young guy.
He was young at the time. Yeah, he was still young at the time when he left Tampa Bay. When he got jettisoned out of Tampa Bay, he was still relatively young. And you're right. And so it was like, yeah, it's in their blood. But you know what it was? It was a cushy paycheck.
Yep.
It was a huge, paycheck. And you didn't have to do anything.
And for him, he was still coaching. Because remember, he ran like that quarterback's camp or whatever it was.
That's right.
He was still coaching players.
And then eventually you're like, all right, I want to get back into it. Let me get back into it. And he got back into it.
Yeah,
he
went
back
to the smell of the locker room.
That's right. Now, obviously, quarterbacks football players don't have that opportunity. Like, there's a window. If you're 34 and you retire, you might come back at 35, but 36, 37, you're done. You're not coming back. It's not endless, right? So if you're going to get a guy to come out of retirement, it's better to get him out of retirement the first year, like within the first year of it, like once it's got rolling. But when these guys realize, holy cow, they pay good money to talk about the sport I know, you stay with it. The analyst job always gets paid more than the play-by-play job. The analyst job is always gets paid more because, one, it really is it's like a measuring contest for lack of a better term, right? If NBC gets this guy, CBS gets this guy, like that's why Tom Brady was commanding, what, $300 million over 10 years or whatever it was to be an analyst at Fox, because everybody wanted him. But when you've got, the play-by-play announcers, as good as they are and as respected in the industry as they are, that's not the reason people tune in. They'll tune in to listen to Andrew Catalan or Spiro Dedis or Kevin Burkhardt. They get paid well, don't get me wrong, but they're never pulling in the money of the analysts. The analysts get paid a lot. They're the ones that people are really paying attention to because they're the ones telling you exactly why something happened. Whereas the play-by-play announcer is telling you what happened. You can kind of figure that out on your own, too. But why did it occur? And that's where the money is made. And if you're Matt Ryan and you're like, I can do this for the next 20 years and they're going to pay me great, you stay with it. Even if the chance of coming back and being on a team as loaded as the Jets, you know, seems like it would be a good opportunity. No, what you're looking for, if you're the Jets, is this is the way I'm going to predict this. Do I think they're going to make a splash, go after Matt Stafford, or get somebody to come back and be the starting quarterback? No, I don't. This is my guess. I mean, obviously that could change, and I'm no problem saying I'm wrong. But I think the way the Jets are going to be is this. I think it is Zach Wilson's job until he loses it to the backup on his own.
Yep.
I think that's the way it's going to be.
And I do believe the Jets are going to bring a
yes,
a named quarterback in.
I do too. I do too. I think there is going to be, there is a backup out there that you know. It's a name you know. It might even be like a Nick Foles. It could be a guy with a pretty pretty good resume. But it's not going to be the starting quarterback from the moment he arrives.
Right.
This is Zach, whether Jet fans want to hear this or not, it is Zach Wilson's job. Now, I'm not saying Zach Wilson's not going to get benched in week 8. That could happen. But you're not going to see in the next week them go, we landed so-and-so, and they're the starter going into this weekend's game against whoever.
Right.
That's not happening. So as much as Robert Saleh is trying to sell everybody the idea that Zach Wilson is, you know, hey, we watched him grow. Ugh. He's selling something that's not sellable. Zach Wilson and the Jets are not good. Right? It's not good for them to settle in on a guy they didn't believe in. Look, I don't care what Aaron Rodgers did to Zach Wilson. There is a number of years in which that organization outwardly did not believe in this kid. Publicly did not believe in this kid.
Yeah.
Okay? And now, and so much so that they went and got Aaron Rodgers. Now, we talked about it at the time over the summer, right? You would think everybody would want Aaron Rodgers, but of course there were a whole bunch of teams that didn't want Aaron Rodgers because they were already set at the quarterback position. Even if it was a Hall of Famer or somebody that they knew could get them to the playoffs or just a young person that they totally believed in, right? I mean, you didn't see the Ravens go after Aaron Rodgers when they were struggling with the idea of Lamar Jackson and the contract and franchise tagging him and all that other nonsense that they went through before they settled on a contract. No, they're not going to do that. The Steelers didn't go after him. There was a lot of rumors about that, but they weren't going to, they're not upending the Kenny Pickett project. But the Jets did do that to Zach Wilson. They did openly say they wanted another quarterback. They did try to trade for Matt Stafford before they went after Aaron Rodgers. They were absolutely trying to better that position. So now they got to go back to him, and they got to hope he's going to be ready week in and week out after they threw him under the bus a million times for his poor play. Lost the locker room, nobody believes in him, etc. Like, if you're Garrett Wilson, you're going to catch footballs thrown to you, right? But how do you have faith in your quarterback when you just had Aaron Rodgers? And you're going back to a guy that you know has failed to get you the ball occasionally. Has failed to read the offense correctly. Right? It's like you go to a fancy restaurant and then you go home and you make meatloaf. Yeah, we're back to meatloaf, aren't we? Yep. Boy, that filet mignon was good, wasn't it? Sure was. Lobster tail? Mmm, delicious. They had the creamy mashed potatoes with just a little touch of garlic. Oh. And now you go home and you make meatloaf and peas. And you got to be happy with that. That's the way it is. There's no next man up situation here, kids. They got Zach Wilson, and that's it. That's how it's going.
And I just love it almost came across fake to me when Robert Saleh had that press conference. Jessica goes, you know, yo, Zach Wilson's our quarterback.
That's right. Yeah.
And I was sitting there like, God, how much did you practice saying that in the mirror?
He was your quarterback last year.
Yeah.
Let's not forget.
Make no mistake, he's our quarterback. He's like, you don't believe it though. You're saying it because, you know, what are your options? I don't think you have any.
Okay, let's go back to our little conversation we had last hour about Marcus Mariota, right? So Marcus Mariota last year was on the Atlanta Falcons. He eventually got replaced by Desmond Ridder, which is what the team wanted anyway, and Mariota kind of knew that. He's now on the Eagles. Okay. Jalen Hurts goes down, And Nick Sirianni goes to the podium and goes, well, Marcus Mariota is our quarterback. You'd go, yeah, of course. You brought him in to be the backup. He's the backup. No. But what? But Robert Saleh is trying to sell you something he was trying to sell the opposite a year ago. Right? But not a year ago. I shouldn't even say that. Over the summer. Every praise that you had about Aaron Rodgers came with the caveat that it was needed because it didn't exist in the first place. What was the one thing that they were lacking? You heard it from Marty Lyons earlier this morning. The one thing Zach Wilson lacked was he was on a team that didn't have leadership. Right? They didn't have leadership. So Aaron Rodgers comes in, and what does Aaron Rodgers do? He can see a void. He's smart. He understands. He sees a void. There's nobody here. Everyone's young. Breece Hall is young. Garrett Wilson's young. Zach Wilson is young. I'm going down the whole list of all these young guys. This team is young. It's hungry. What is it lacking? It's lacking a veteran, a real veteran, that they can respect instantly. Not a guy that's a journeyman defensive lineman that's 32, that's been on six different teams. I mean a Hall of Famer that is one of the most respected players in the league that can go into a room and immediately get the attention of everybody. And so they were lacking that. Now the goal, if you're Robert Saleh, is to continue to have that without him being on the field. That's what you're trying to convince Aaron Rodgers to do. Okay. Can we still get a little bit of this where you are really helping Zach on the field because you can't be on it? And I think if you're Aaron Rodgers, it's a tall ask because a lot of people aren't wired to do it, but I think Rodgers would do it. I really would. Not every player is a teacher. Not every player is a teacher. I think Rodgers would do it, though. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, one bit of news. I know it's college basketball related, but it's also because we've been following the Maui wildfires. The Maui Invitational, the college basketball tournament that happens in November. It's one of the bigger ones to kick off the season. It's kind of fun. It always happens around, it's like a Thanksgiving. It's like around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. Like if you like college basketball, there's so much things that are going on, like college football, it's rivalry weekend and NFL games and whatnot. But if you like college hoops, you can get some really good matchups at the Maui Invitational. But anyway, they're going to be holding that game in Honolulu. And then some of the proceeds are going to go towards the effort, you know, the repair effort and helping out.
Yeah. Kind of had that feeling that they weren't going to not go and
get rid
of it altogether.
Yeah, and so it's going to be Hoops for Ohana is going to be they're going to have some tickets and gear and whatnot to raise money as well. Also, if you kind of it's hard to follow because college basketball news is kind of get lost in the shuffle, but there have been some games that have been scheduled early in the season, like Tennessee, for example, and Michigan State have scheduled a game in which all the proceeds from the game are going to be, you know, sent to the wildfire recovery efforts and families and whatnot as they help to rebuild. So, but this year's Maui Invitational, Kansas, obviously, Marquette, my favorite team in the tournament last year that let me down, Purdue, Gonzaga, Syracuse.
Was there a comma there because they were your favorite team that let you down, or were they your favorite team that let you down?
No, my favorite team in the tournament that let me down, meaning that was the team I picked. I remember I was on the Marquette train really early last year, and I kept telling everybody, watch out for Marquette, watch out for Marquette. And they won the Big East, Shaka Smart, they won the Big East, and they entered the tournament. I forget when they were eliminated, but they didn't get to Houston. But Kansas, Marquette, Purdue, Gonzaga, Syracuse, now under Adrian Autry is their new head coach, replacing Jim Boeheim. Tennessee, UCLA, and of course, Chaminade is going to be involved in this year's Maui Invitational. So it's going to be played in Honolulu.
No Virginia.
I spoke to somebody about that, a young person about that. It was at my high school game last weekend. I was doing one of the games with a kind of a younger guy, and we were talking about upsets. And I told him, I was telling him the story about Chaminade beating Virginia. And I was telling him, I said, I know you're too young for this. I said, but there was a time where the way news worked was there would be what they called an AP wire. So if you were a newsroom around the country, you would get a feed from a from an office. And it was usually like teletext, right? You know, back then, it was like beep, 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 beep. Almost like Morse code, like they did in World War II. But basically, that's what it was. It was like the early version of faxes. Like you would get information. And then as a news department, that's how you got your national news, right? You would get it from the, what they called the wire. So I was telling him how there were all these newspapers around the country that would not print the score of the Chaminade Virginia game because they thought it was fake. They thought it was a misprint. So they went, eh. One of the biggest upsets in the history of sports didn't make it in the paper in a lot of parts of the country. And now this kid was pretty amazed by it. He was kind of like amazed that they, like, that's how it worked. Like, you wouldn't just automatically get an alert on your phone. You wouldn't automatically just know it was happening. Some entity like ESPN wouldn't go, hey, is there a feed of this game? Like, is somebody doing the game locally in Honolulu that we can get the feed from to just carry it the final minute or two of the game? No, that didn't exist. People just did not believe it happened. So the next day, you had to wait till it processed, that kind of upset. And he was rather impressed with the story that it was almost like if a tree falls in a forest and nobody's around to hear it. It's like, did Chaminade really beat Ralph Sampson in Virginia if no newspaper reported it the next day? And some did because there were people who didn't care. They were just like, this is what it is. Throw it in the newspaper. By the way, Philip on Twitter told me I definitely should have posted that immaculate grid. He said, absolutely post that. He said, because when you don't, nobody believes you. That's very true. That's very true. Is there anything worse than somebody saying they made a hole in one, but nobody was around? No, you got to have witnesses. Yeah. You got to have witnesses.
What is it? It's like, you know, no photo or didn't exist?
That's right. He says, like those big fish catches that old men brag about. Shannon Sharp once said he caught a fish so big, the picture weighed 6 pounds. But if there was no post, did it really happen? See, there you go. That's true. That's true.
But see, that to me right there, that to me right there sounds fake.
What, a picture so big that the picture weighed?
Yeah. The fish was so big, the picture weighed 6 pounds. And that's where you, I go, okay, now that's a story. Because that's something my grandfather would say.
That's right. That's right.
I caught a fish so big once, the picture weighed 7 pounds.
I tell you, man, there's a lot of things I've done where I didn't post it. And I wish I posted it.
Oh, of course. You know?
I wish I had the means to post stuff like early in my career. Cause I drove a race car and I was so excited to drive. There's not one picture. I have zero pictures of me driving this race car.
I'll just let you know right now. I don't believe you.
I know. Yeah. You are 100% correct in that assessment. Yeah. But no, I have zero pictures of me driving a race car at this race car driving school I went to. And none.
I'm trying to think if there's anything cool that I've done.
With no evidence?
With no evidence. I don't really think there is. I've led a boring life.
Yeah. Well, listen, don't hate on people posting pictures of their big accomplishments. They're doing it. They may not be doing it for you. They're doing it for a reason.
You know what they're doing? They're doing it for themselves to record history. That's
true.
My wife, the only reason why my wife uses Facebook ever is she goes, it's my personal blog, and it's a way for me to show photos to my family, family.
That's right. That is a great point. Now, I agree with her completely. I agree with her completely on this. Like, I check Facebook memories all the time just to see what I did on this day 5 years ago, 8 years ago. Yeah, If I did anything, I may not have posted anything.
I got to check my wife's because I never post. So I check hers and be like, okay, what happened? That's right. Oh, that's right. I do remember that day.
Yeah.
Terrible.
You know, both of my kids are in college now, and I'm like, I love when I see something from like 12 years ago when they were kids, like little kids running around the backyard or doing something. I'm like, wow, that's wild.
But it really is. It really is, you know, like for us, I mean, since, you know, I have my brother who lives in town with us, but for the rest of our family, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's true with everybody, your family as well. It's like, this is an easy way for them to just kind of keep up.
Remember when you used to see like a relative, maybe a distant relative, And you hadn't seen them for years when you were a kid, and then they would go, oh, my God, you're so big.
Do I?
Yeah, right? Everybody did
miss
that.
Miss those days.
Yeah, but now it was like, no, I've been watching you grow.
Yeah, it made me feel important.
Exactly. Now, I will say that Facebook, unfortunately, has ruined class reunions, which is always too bad. Because the class reunion, I couldn't wait.
Oh, they're dead.
I couldn't wait for my, when I graduated high school, I couldn't wait for my class reunion. I thought I was, you know, I thought it was like, it was going to be fun to see where people were. By the time we reached our 20th, people already known what everybody was, what everyone was doing, who they were married to, how many kids they had. Yeah. Everybody knew everything about everybody. And so it was only a matter of just getting together, saying hi, shaking hands, giving some hugs, and reminiscing about some days. But you could not, like, you know how, like, almost every single sitcom or show was always about, can I get this hot girl to go with me to pretend that she's my wife?
Exactly.
Like, that wasn't, those days are over.
You know, showing up and be like, because you have a much more important job than you really
do. Yeah, that's right. Right. Like I run a telecommunications company.
Yeah.
Where I'm really just like one of 17 number crunchers in an office. Yeah, those days are over because people know. Like they know
and
who you're married.
Almost
they know
to a point
kids,
too. Like, you know, I look at my class and, you know, anyone who we only had a 20th reunion. That was, you know, a few years ago. I don't know if they're planning on it would be 30 next year.
It was very funny that you mentioned that because we had our 30th a couple of years ago, and me and a girl from my high school, we were planning it, and we ended up stopping because we didn't get enough responses.
People I'm curious if we have, because 20, you know, our 20th, which, you know, that was a few years ago, I guess there was a good attendance. I didn't go, but there was a good attendance, but I almost, in a way, was like, well, okay, is it just like a place for you guys to meet up with old friends? Like, was it just for you?
Yeah,
like,
right.
I don't know if it was for the entire class, because I went to school in L.A. It was a large class. We had like,
right.
You know, I mean, my graduating class is like several hundred people.
Oh,
1,000
my wife
people
was the same way. My wife was the same way. She graduated from St. Pete High School.
Yeah.
And she said to me, I said, is it possible that you could meet somebody in town, at your reunion, wherever, and you could meet somebody and they could say, I graduated from St. Pete High School in this year, same year as you, and you have zero idea who they are. She goes, oh, absolutely.
I'll tell you this real quick. In college, I started dating a girl prior to my wife. I was dating a girl that I graduated high school with, and neither one of us knew each other. We had the same friends.
I went to a middle of nowhere high school. We not only knew everything about each other, we knew everything about their parents.
Yeah.
Like, parents got divorced, we knew. Parents got divorced, we knew.
Me and this girl, we ran the same circles and didn't know each other.
That's crazy. All right. Are we overreacting? Buy or sell next to week one of the NFL.
Welcome back to Wake Up Call. Time now for Buy or Sell. Buy or Sell.
All right, it's buy or sell. Are we overreacting to things in week one of the NFL? We either buy or we sell it. And we get things rolling with Ron Culver with our first buy or sell of the morning.
So what I decided to do was this. Is I, you know, take some of the highlights and lowlights of week one.
Okay.
And make season projections out of them.
Okay, all right. Good. Okay,
and
then,
so now it's your turn. You know, just based off of what we saw in week one, the results of week one, is this how it's going to end up at the end of the season?
Okay.
All right? So, like, for instance, the NFL MVP race will come down between Trevor Lawrence and Brock Purdy.
Oh.
Buy or sell that?
I am going to sell that, but I like what you did there. I think that there is going to be some bounce back from the quarterbacks that didn't play particularly well. But Brock Purdy looked amazing for a guy that was supposed to be out with an elbow injury. So I'm gonna sell it, but Brock Purdy will be in the running for this thing if he continues to play like this.
I think so too.
Yeah,
and I'm putting Trevor up there because I have a sneaky feeling that the Jaguars will end up with the best record in the league.
I Frank Schwab shares your thoughts on Trevor Lawrence.
I just have that thought because I mean they're in a weak division, but yeah. All right, how about this one? After what we saw in week one of the NFL action, the Bills will make the playoffs, but only because the Jets won't.
Okay. I'm going to sell it. I'm really nervous about the Bills. I'm still riding on the fact that I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I don't think the Jets are making the playoffs, but I think it's now open for a Cleveland to make the playoffs. Maybe the Raiders could play well enough. I don't know. But I'm worried about the Bills. There's something wrong, and I can't put my finger on it. I want to say it's Josh Allen, but it's a little more than that.
Yeah.
And I go back to what we learned when we really were discussing the Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen thing. When we go big deal, little deal, no deal, it's not a big deal, but it's not no deal. It's really in the middle, and it could get big. I think there is something about this team where they are trying and trying to do the same thing over and over again, and somehow teams are getting better than they are. I'm going to sell this one. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I still don't think they'll make the playoffs. Could they turn their season around? Yeah. Could they get like 8 or 9 wins? Of course. They're too good. They're not going to stink. I'm really nervous for them. Save this tape because I wouldn't mind going back to it when I'm wrong and they're 13-4 and winning the division.
Exactly right.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but my thing was...
And Josh Allen is an MVP candidate.
I'm saying that they will make the playoffs, but it's only because now, you know, the Jets are out of it.
Yeah, I don't think either one of them will make the playoffs, but I'm sticking with the Bills not making
it. All right, how about this one? What we've learned after week one. Colt McCoy will finish the year... Or, I'm sorry, let me read it as I wrote it because that probably is better. Colt McCoy will finish as the year-end starter for the Jets.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Sell.
Sell?
I'm on the fence. That's a good one. Sell. I think the Jets, it's Zach Wilson and someone you really know is going to be on that team. They're going to make a deal for somebody. That's going to arrive in New York. I mean, I don't think it'll be him.
Okay.
But Colt McCoy should be on a team somewhere.
He should be.
He should be on a team somewhere.
And maybe the Jets steal a guy from another team, and then Colt McCoy goes to that team.
I want to revisit that one because Colt McCoy's career is really interesting.
Right. Right? How about this one?
I'm going to revisit that one later.
I'm
writing that down.
I'm going to pander to listener Philip here.
Okay.
All right. Buy or sell, Tony. Tua will remain injury free throughout the season.
Sell! Come on. No, seriously.
You're going to get some hate tweets now.
I know. Philip, come on. Even you got to admit, he's probably losing a game or two. The guy is as fragile as a porcelain doll. Come on. I think I'm going to sell that one.
Yeah,
I think he's going down at some point for a couple of games.
For a hangnail.
It's so true.
Sorry. Okay, you know, but I'm not opposed to getting on my team at all. The Chargers will fire Brandon Staley at the end of the season.
I saw a list of somebody, just one of those Facebook reels thing, like TikTok, and somebody was doing one of those top 10 coaches that will be fired by the end of the season. And, you know, it's just right. One lone video guy's opinion.
Yeah.
But he had Brandon Staley fourth.
And you,
I was like,
and you,
fourth?
And your initial thought was, it should be way higher.
I was like, fourth? Jonathan Gannon was number one. But I'm like, no, I think the Cardinals will take him to the end.
The
Broncos really
sure.
thought that they were going to be good. That's why Nathaniel Hackett got fired in his first year. They had Russell Wilson. They paid him a ton of money. They were one of the lowest scoring teams in the league. Nathaniel Hackett got fired because, one, he wasn't the owner's guy. Two, they had had enough. Three, they had paid Russell Wilson a lot of money. No, they can't fire him. So I think Jonathan Gannon makes it to the end because I don't think the Cardinals are thinking anything this year but getting the number one pick.
Yes.
If Gannon does that, he survives at least 1 year. They may get somebody for year two, but he's not getting fired in November.
Right.
Who gets fired in November, Ron? Disappointing teams that had high expectations.
Yeah.
That's who gets fired. Now, in order for Brandon Staley to get fired, the Chargers, who've got tremendous talent, have to really stink.
Well,
they're not going to
yes
fire him at
no.
7 and they're not going to fire him at 7-3.
No, I don't think they're going to fire him. I don't know if he'll be the first one to be fired.
Right.
What I am saying though is I think at the end of the season, if it's another typical Chargers season, and I'm saying typical over what has been happening the last couple of years, I think he gets fired.
I do too.
I was surprised that he stuck around, especially since every single person around him got the can.
Okay, so let's go back for a second. Repeat that. I kind of went on the tangent of the TikTok guy. What was the original question again?
I said the Chargers will fire Brandon Staley at the end of the season.
Yes. Okay, I'm buying that. Because I honestly think that they've got to start thinking Super Bowl.
Right.
They have to start thinking. That team is way too loaded.
Yeah, exactly.
Way too loaded.
And they can't be having these games again where against the Dolphins. They need to win those games.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And they need to figure out a way. It's like, hey, you know, our offense put up 34 points. Our defense come on, stop something.
The talent on both sides of the ball is insane.
Right.
No, I agree. I'm definitely buying that.
All right. Okay. Well, since I picked up my team, Tony.
Uh-huh.
Buy or sell. This one pained me to write, by the way, just so you know.
Okay.
The Steelers will end up with the number one overall draft pick.
Selling that, but it's going to be, I think it could be close. Mike Tomlin's going to squeeze out some wins here, but enough to not be the worst team in the
NFL. They going to be in the running? Is it going to be one of those seasons where it's, you know, it's down between the Steelers and the Cardinals?
The problem I had last year was Kenny Pickett, when he first started, he threw like three interceptions against the Jets.
Yeah, and you were fine with a number one overall pick.
I said at the time, I'm okay with the Steelers being bad because this is what happens when you get rookie quarterbacks. Go with the rookie quarterback, let the chips fall where they may, let him grow. What I saw Sunday, if he doesn't get better, they're going to lose a lot of games. Lots and lots of games, no matter what. Already Cam Hayward's out. Deontay Johnson is out. That's okay because Deontay Johnson didn't have a touchdown catch last year. But nevertheless, he's still one of the weapons. But Tomlin will squeeze out enough wins that they won't pick number one overall. But I think it's going to be a top 10. They're not good.
And it'll probably be a losing season.
They're
Tomlin's
not good.
First.
This AFC is too tough. Normally I would go, the Browns. All right, they'll probably squeeze a win against the Browns. They'll squeeze a win against.
Now, Tomlin won't get fired, though.
No. No, they don't do that.
Yeah.
They don't do that.
All right, how about this one? I got a couple more here. We got to do some rapid fire real quick. The Cowboys will finish with the best record of the NFC.
Yes, buy that.
Okay. How about this one? This one's going to be
sell it because I know the Cowboys will stick me way through the season.
Well, I didn't say they're going to win the Super Bowl. I just said they're going to finish with the best record. I'm going to skip this next one because this next one would probably take you too long.
Okay.
But real quick, the NFC South will send two teams to the playoffs.
NFC South?
Will send two teams to the playoffs. Because, hey, they have three teams that are 1-0.
That's right. That's a great overreaction. That is a sell.
All right.
They
what about
still
this
will have
one?
A losing record winning that division.
How about this one then? The AFC West will only send one team to the playoffs.
I'm going to sell that. No. I'm going to buy that. No, I'm selling that. I think the Chargers make the playoffs. I think Chiefs make the playoffs and the Chargers make the playoffs.
All right.
I'm still rolling with that.
The one I thought would take you a while, and we'll just throw it out there real quick. Russell Wilson will be benched at some point this season.
I'm buying that because I think Sean Payton has the patience as long as maybe, a yardstick. I think that's it. If Russell Wilson is not the guy, he is like, I didn't come to Denver to make you better. I came to make this team better and you ain't making the team better. I think Sean Payton has had enough of Russell Wilson Incorporated. That's
and
it.
Not going to care about, hey, nope. You know how much we're paying him to sit on the bench?
Tell the owner. I'm like, no, that's not what we're doing here. He stinks. And if he does end up being that bad. All right. Well, final segment of this hour next as we continue.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
Oh, yay. That was a good, fun buy or sell. Philip on Twitter, here's a buy or sell. This will be the first losing record for Mike Tomlin. I'm buying that. This team has got a big, big haul in front of them. It's a lot of good teams in the AFC. There were some games that they won last year that the teams they won, they beat, got better. But you know what's so strange is, like, at the end of the season, you never know, again, how tired teams are, how beat up teams are, who they lose, who they gain, you know, things like that. So, but yeah, I'm not very optimistic. But yeah,
nah.
You gotta go down the slide.
I know it's only week one. That's why we're overreacting. I mean, the Steelers didn't look good, but that's not saying that you know it could have just been that the Niners are that great.
I remember 1989. They started the season. The combined score of the first two games was like 92-10, and they ended up going 9-7 and went making the playoffs. And they beat Houston and barely lost to Denver. So you never know. You know it you know you can turn some things around. I hope the AFC, and right now it's not looking good because we already lost one starting quarterback. I really hope the AFC is as good as we thought it was at the beginning. I want it to be fun. I really do. I want it to be filled with great matchups every week. I mean, if you have five or six teams that you are, and in the AFC, it's probably, well, remember we counted it, and I think it was like 8 or 9 that were really legitimately good.
I think the AFC is still going to be the more dominant conference.
Yes.
Win the Super Bowl, but I'm going to say it's the more dominant conference because you got to look at the quarterbacks in each of the divisions, and the better ones are in the AFC.
Right, but I'm talking about the AFC being on the historical level of good. Like I want it to be one of the best years for the conference it's ever had.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not dominated by the Patriots. It's not dominated by Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady like it was for a while. I love the idea that we went into this season with an AFC that had Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, Aaron Rodgers, and even Mac Jones in it. Like, that AFC East was so intriguing. Now you lose Rodgers, and maybe Mac Jones isn't in the club. All right, you're down to two guys. You've got Trevor Lawrence in the South. You've got Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow in the North. You've got Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. That, without Rodgers, I've just given you 8 quarterbacks. I hope it stays that way. I hope all these teams are good. I hope all these teams are, you know, so that every game that is between a Miami and the Browns or something, whatever that is, whatever might happen, that it's what you want. It's what you're looking for.
And listen,
we just lost Rodgers in that conference.
Right.
So I hope
there's a few surprises that could be had too.
Sure.
I mean, I know we don't give Garoppolo enough credit, but what if he's great?
What if he's good?
Yeah. I mean, what if he's, you know, channeling that inner, you know, when he went from the Patriots to the Niners and just wasn't losing any games, when he was basically Brock Purdy during that time.
That's true. And remember, he has experience in a Josh McDaniels system. It's one of the reasons they went and got him. And they could have gotten a couple of other guys. You know, they lost Derek Carr, and they were probably like, we just need a quarterback. Because remember, they're only paying him $20-something million, $25, $26 million.
No, I mean, it's a great fit. I mean,
yeah, so he's not the franchise $45 million a year guy. They may get that guy down the road, but they went and found a guy, and they brought Brian Hoyer. Josh McDaniels likes people he worked with. It's that simple.
Yeah, and by that, and you know, sticking with that routine or that same mantra, what if Mac Jones has a bounce back year?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
I know he didn't play well last year, but what if he's, you know, much better this year? So, I mean, there's so many little wild cards out there that we just don't know. I do think the AFC is going to be fun.
On a different note, we were just talking about the Maui wildfires and how the basketball tournament is going to be played in Honolulu. Why are people mad at Oprah and The Rock? Because should they have given more to that? I keep seeing articles everyone's mad at Oprah.
It's two different stories that I keep hearing. Is that they're mad at Oprah, they're mad at The Rock. Basically what they did was the two of them started a fund, you know, the Maui Wildfire Fund.
Right.
And they put in $10 million of their own money.
Okay, combined, each or $5 million apiece?
That I don't know. I don't know if it's combined. I don't know if it's $5 million each or each $10 million. But, you know, but they pretty much started the kitty. And then they are turning to the residents or to the people saying, hey, you know, help us. Which is what every celebrity has ever done. But where the dark side comes in is because Oprah owns a whole bunch of property that mysteriously was not affected by the fire.
Oh.
But it also wasn't in the line of the fire, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
I think people are reaching to find the newest conspiracy theory, and it's simply because we don't know all the information from that fire.
But
things are being held from us.
Getting out of the conspiracy theory for a second, I think you make a So Oprah goes, I'm dumping $10 million in to this thing, or rocking her $5 million a piece, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Let's start a fund where we're getting, we want to reach out to the entire globe.
Yes.
Of 7-8 billion people to contribute a little money. And if they do, they could have $100 million.
Right.
Right? What they're saying is you shouldn't have even bothered. You should have just put $100 million in.
A lot of people are saying, like, well, they're wealthy enough. Why don't they just put in their own money? Yeah.
Well, that's not to say that they won't.
Right.
But they're also opening it up for the opportunity for other people to do it. Like, other people say, look, I'll do $10, $20, whatever it is.
We donate to the Red Cross all the time. And I know people have donated to the Red Cross for the Maui fires.
Sure.
You know, and that's going, you know, but even that, it's just, I think what is happening right now is social media. People doing this for the clicks, people doing this for the likes are getting in the way of people who are actually doing what's been happening, what's been going on for years and years. Because one of the videos that's circulating out there, a newest report was that Oprah, The Rock was upset because Oprah admitted on camera that The Rock lied about something.
Oh, okay.
Right, regardless of this, right?
Yeah.
That has since been disproven. And here's the real fun part, Tony. They were AI voices.
Oh, there you go. See, AI voices. Yeah.
So it was an AI voice of Oprah saying that, you know, they lied, or The Rock lied, or she lied, okay, and something like that. So you have that going on where people don't know that was
AI. So
it's
basically people are
it.
Mad at them for something and
right.
saying you should. Okay, because listen, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. When I was a kid, Jerry Lewis did this telethon for
yes.
muscular dystrophy. And now, if you go, if you went back in time, there was a time where the tote board didn't have a 10 million mark on it. Okay, so the telethon tote board had 7 digits on it, right? And then there was like a famous scene where they finally cracked $10 million, and I think Ed McMahon drew a 1 on the tote board because they had reached 10 million. Now, think about the celebrities that poured into that telethon in 24 hours, right? Sinatra, you know, Charo,
yeah.
Of everybody, right?
The entire rap
Julie
pack.
Andrews, everybody, the entire Rat Pack.
You know,
so they could have generated $10 million.
Oh, of course.
I don't remember anybody criticizing Jerry Lewis saying, why are you running a telethon? Why don't you just write a check for $10 million, rich
yeah.
entertainer?
What are you waiting for?
Right. Like, I don't know. Like, I just think you open it up to people, and then you dump it a little more if you want to. There's no law that says that either one of them can't go, all right, well, we wanted to get to 30 million or 50 million. We're 10 million short. Let's throw in another 5 apiece.
And that's right? And that's the thing. And I think a lot of it, and that's why I'm going to the social media part of it, where I think that's where the, pardon my pun, the real fire to this hatred is coming from. Is just through all these different social media posts where people are constantly going, it's like, Rock's not true Hawaiian. He's not here for the people. He's doing it for himself. He's doing it for the clout. And people are just wanting to harp on these people. And I honestly look back and going, you know, thank God we didn't have this when we were younger.
The biggest problem that we have right now is, and this goes into sports too.
Right.
One of the biggest problems that we have right now is not the Twitter tweets of a random guy in Kansas. It's when people go, I'll take that tweet, I'll take this tweet, and I'll take this tweet, and I'll write an article on a sports blog that says, mm-hmm. everybody's angry at so-and-so. That's what I'll do. I'll give these 3 examples of total anonymous people who have no celebrity status whatsoever. They're just random people tweeting. And then I'll act as if the entire country is ablaze in hatred because Joe Buck or Mike Tirico said the wrong thing.
Right.
Like, everyone's upset at Joe Buck because he misidentified a player. How about 0 people are upset?
Well,
you just found 2 people on Twitter that mentioned it, and you created a clickbait article that says the entire country is mentally breaking down because of this. Like, I mean, that's the problem.
Did you see what Patrick Mahomes had to do?
Right.
Patrick Mahomes wrote a tweet yesterday about Aaron Rodgers and forgot the comma. So when you read it, it looked like, hate that man.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
But he's like, hate that man. about his injury. He was like, God, it just, you know, we got to slow down.
Yeah, I know.
And this AI thing, this AI voice is scary.
It's very, very, very scary. Very scary. All right, we'll continue on Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Good Wednesday to you.